الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولولا رجال مؤمنون ونساء مؤمنات لم تعلموهم أن تطؤوهم فتصيبكم منهم معرة بغير علم صدق الله العظيم. Respected علماء, beloved حفاظ, respected elders and brothers, a famous incident during the time of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, which we have heard of and read about time and again, the incident of Hudaybiyah. It was the sixth year after Hijrat. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam sees a dream in which himself as well as his sahaba radiallahu anhum are going to perform Umrah. The dream of a Nabi and the dream of a non-Nabi has a big difference. The dream of a Nabi is wahi, revelation and inspiration from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shares this dream with his sahaba, and they are all overwhelmed with joy that after so many years, we're going to enter Makkah Mukarramah again and be allowed the opportunity to perform Umrah. We can well imagine what must have been the emotions running in the hearts of sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, that they were not people like you and I who settled in a place for 50 years or for 100 years. They were settled in Makkah Mukarramah for generations, thousands of years. From the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam, their fathers, their forefathers, and then they were taken out. Now they are given the hint that they will be allowed entry back into Makkah Mukarramah. They are overjoyed. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam leaves with approximately 1,400 or 1,500 sahaba, and they are on the way to Makkah Mukarramah. When the Makkans hear that the Muslims are coming, they begin preparing for war. The news reaches Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam changes path until he goes to a place called Hudaybiyah, which is only about 9 miles, about 15 kilometers out of Makkah Mukarramah. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam stays there for some time. The Quraysh, they send to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam someone to negotiate. A lengthy incident. Nevertheless, there was a treaty drawn at Hudaybiyah. There was a treaty drawn, there were certain rules that were made. They made an agreement. And it so happened that year that the kuffar said that no one's going to be allowed to enter Makkah Mukarramah this year. If the Muslims wish, they can come the following year. This was something very difficult for Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhum, because they came with such fervor, with such zeal and aspiration that we're now going to enter Makkah Mukarramah, but now they are being turned back. And to top it all, the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had seen a dream that he's entering Makkah Mukarramah. It was difficult for them. Nevertheless, they turned around and they went back to Madinah Munawwara. The interpretation of the dream was Umrah will happen, but the time wasn't set. The time wasn't destined. If not this year, then next year. The dream was true, but it was just that they thought it's going to be this year, it happened to be the following year. On the way back, a lengthy incident, but just to bring this point, Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhum, when they heard that the Quraysh were preparing for war, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, news came that Usman radiallahu anhu was murdered. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took the bay'atul ridwan in the hands of Sahaba radiallahu anhu with the Sahaba, that they will avenge and they'll fight. And they were ready to go in and enter, and they would have thought Allah would have given them victory. On the way back, while they're coming back to Madinah Munawwara, Allah reveals Suratul Fath. And in the surah, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala explains the reason why they were not allowed entry into Makkah Mukarramah at that occasion. Why it happened such that everything sort of worked out against them. It was a so-called setback. It was some difficulty, something hard for them to take down. But Allah tabarak wa ta'ala then mentioned in Quran, لَوْلَا رِجَالٌ مُؤْمِنُونَ وَنِسَاءٌ مُؤْمِنَاتٌ لَمْ تَعْلَمُوهُمْ. They were believing men and believing women in Makkah Mukarramah. Had you group of Sahaba entered Makkah on this occasion ready for war, you would have engaged in battle. You don't know who these believing men and these believing women were. Had you gone in, you would have innocently, unknowingly killed those who were kuffar as well as killed those who were Muslim. And this would have been a problem on your side. As a respect of those believing men and women, these Sahaba were not allowed to enter this year, they were only allowed to enter the following year. The moral of the story is sometimes difficulties come our way. We have to suffer a certain setback. Outwardly it looks that we are suffering, but in the grand plan of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, we don't know what are the possible wisdoms. Our belief is, Wallahu alimun hakimun. Allah is most knowledgeable. Allah is most wise. When we believe Allah is most wise, the next thing we attach to that is, any action or decision of a wise being, a wise person, can never be void of wisdom. People say everything happens for a reason. But our belief is, with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, it's not one reason, it's a million reasons. We may not know why it's happening, but definitely Allah Ta'ala has a plan, and He has allowed it to happen because of His divine wisdom. So we would want to know why. So as sometimes Allah Ta'ala explains the wisdom, Allah Ta'ala shares the wisdom, like in this incident. But sometimes it's not shared, but in the words of Quran, Allah Ta'ala gives us one broad principle, via which we can gauge and understand. When difficulty comes to any person, then what's the reason behind it? Allah explains in Quran, فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بِالْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَبَرَّعُونَ. Allah Ta'ala says, we afflict people with difficulty, with adversity, for one reason, one broad reason in principle, so that they may humbly, fervently turn to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Generally, when a person is in some sort of difficulty, it's normal human nature that he turns to Allah Ta'ala with more concentration. This is mentioned in Quran. Allah Ta'ala says, when a problem comes to someone from all sides, ضَلَّ مَن تَدْعُونَ إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ, everything else a person pushes aside, his heart and his concentration towards Allah Ta'ala is a lot more. So Allah Ta'ala is saying He wants us to turn to Him. How? In our statements, in our actions, in our hearts, and even our thoughts, are engaging to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala as much as possible. Strangely in Quran, when Allah Ta'ala speaks about people who are patient during the time of difficulties, Allah Ta'ala uses the word qalu, alladhina qalu, those who are careful of their statement. And what do they say? They say, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. They remind themselves of something. Mufassirin explain that why was alladhina qalu mentioned? Because, why did Allah specifically mention those who say inna lillahi? Because this is such a difficult time. One of the most important things for us to gain control over is our tongues and the statements we utter. That is why Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, Allah tasma'un, pay special attention. Inna Allah la yu'adhibu بِدَمْعِ الْعَيْنِ وَلَا بِحُزْنِ الْقَلْبِ وَلَكِنْ يُعَذِّبُ بِهَذَا أَوْ يَرْحَمْ وَأَشَارَ إِلَىٰ لِسَانِهِ. Allah Ta'ala doesn't issue any punishment. If a person suffers with difficulty and his eyes shed tears, his heart is gripped with grief, there's no punishment for this. But the basis of the punishment is Allah shows mercy, or Allah punishes. Based on what Abdullah bin Umar says, Ashara ila lisanihi, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, this is the point. Making reference to the tongue. What a person utters, it is what will ultimately decide whether he is going to receive mercy from Allah or he's going to suffer punishment. So the important thing is always to gain control and make sure the right statements come out. Umm Salama radiallahu anha narrates the hadith, مَا مِن مُسْلِمٍ تُصِيبُهُ مُصِيبَةٌ. Any Muslim who suffers some setback, some calamity, some difficulty, and فَيَقُولُ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ, then this Muslim, he recites, he brings the right words on his tongue. What does he read? He reads that which Allah commands us to read, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. We belong to Allah, and to Allah we're going to return. A principle extracted from this dua mentioned in Quran is one person mentioned very beautifully, that the only way and one of the most effective ways to remove any pain or any difficulty in your life is to understand and realize one thing, one principle. Remind yourself about this, that nothing in this world is yours, nothing was yours, and nothing will ever be yours. Everything is borrowed, is lent to us by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Inna lillah, we belong to Him. That means everything of ours as well as ourselves belong to Allah. Nothing is ours, it's lent to us by Allah ta'ala. So Umm Salama radiallahu anha says, a person who recites this, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, and then, Allahumma ajurni fi musibati wa akhlif li khayra minha. Oh Allah, reward me through my difficulty. And oh Allah, grant me something better in return. Illa akhlaf Allahu lahu khayra minha. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala takes it as His responsibility to replace this person with better than what he lost. Umm Salama radiallahu anha then goes on to narrate, I was married to Abu Salama. Falamma mata Abu Salama, when Abu Salama passed away, qultu, I thought to myself, ayyul muslimin khayrun min Abi Salama. How can I ever meet a man better than my husband Abu Salama? We lived well, we were a good couple. She says, awwalu baytin hajara ila rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Amongst the first people to make hijrat to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina Munawwara, they also made hijrat to Habasha. Then a time came when Abu Salama was wounded in the battle of Uhud, and 1 year later he passes away as a result of that wound. So she thought to herself that how am I going to ever find someone better? Nevertheless, this was the teaching of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I began reciting this dua. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Allahumma ajurni fi musibati wa akhlif li khayra minha. And then she says, I couldn't fathom what happened next. It was beyond my comprehension. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, Allah will give you someone, something better in return. And who did I receive next? فَأَخْلَفَ اللَّهُ لِي رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Allah made me get married to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself. This is the barakat of this dua, and this is what we learn, that at all times we turn to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, whether it be in a form of dua, always ensuring that the right statements are uttered. Turning to Allah ta'ala, asking Allah ta'ala in dua. Sometimes we feel we make dua, things are said, things are mentioned, but it doesn't seem like I'm getting what I want. Imam Shafi rahimullah answers this so beautifully, and he says, أَتَهْزَأُ بِالدُّعَاءِ وَتَزْدَرِيهِ وَمَا تَدْرِي مَا صَنَعَ الدُّعَاءُ. Are you thinking that your du'as are missing the mark? Are you thinking that you're making du'a but nothing is working out? He answers and says, سِهَامُ اللَّيْلِ لَا تُخْطِي وَلَكِنْ لَهَا أَمَدُ وَلِلْأَمَدٍ قِضَاءُ. The arrows which are shot at night, he's referring to the du'as made at the time of the Tahajjud, or when a person is tossing and turning, he's not getting sleep, or any other time he's making du'a, these arrows never miss. There may be a delay, but that delay, it's sure one day this dua is going to hit its target. As though giving us a resemblance, that dua can be resembled to something, a projectile that's fired. Every projectile doesn't hit its target immediately. Sometimes a missile is fired now, but it only hits its target after hours or sometime after days. So same with the dua. You made the dua now, you're not seeing it to reaching fruition immediately. It doesn't mean it's gone to waste. One day it'll come to aid when you need it most. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to practice. Finally, we just end up by, during the crisis that we had all gone through recently, we make dua for Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to reward immensely all those who have aided and assisted in whatever way, be it through the form of patrols, through aid, through hamper distribution. The young, the old, the men, the women, may Allah reward them abundantly. And may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala assist and reward all those who have suffered a loss in any way. And may Allah ta'ala grant them much better in return. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.